Steve with Illumini, where we explore, listen, learn, and enlighten. Today's conversation is with Tatunda Lepore. Tatunda is the Senior Case Manager of Primary School Students for Gone Road Children's Foundation in Nairobi. Tatunda and I have known each other for several years over the course of my traveling to Nairobi to photograph and video life in the slums and the program. So it's really nice to be able to have a face-to-face conversation with her on Zoom. To date, Kenya has registered 303 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and have resulted in 14 deaths. Nonetheless, there's a lot of activity that's going on, and this is a good time for Tunda and I to catch up and get an update to see where things are going and what the priorities of the organization and get a little report on this, on the status of the students and their families. So, good morning, or I should say good afternoon. I'm here with Tunda Lepore. Tunda is caseworker of primary school students at Gone Road Children's Foundation in Nairobi. And Tunda, how are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning, Steve. Good talking to you this morning.
So it's about 3 in the afternoon for you, and it's about 6 a.m. here in Minneapolis. And how has your day been today? Has it been occupied with our new reality? Is that kind of how things are going there?
Yes, I've been in the office since morning. We've been trying to schedule students, or let's say parents, to come for food tomorrow on Friday. We have about 30 slots of students who are going to be coming, and 12 of them are going to be from my department. So we've been issuing food on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday. So tomorrow is, we'll be doing some issuing, then we'll do again next week.
Sounds good. So is that program still working well for you?
Yes, it is, because most of our parents have lost, almost all of them have actually lost their jobs, since the nature of their job is casual labor. So, most of the places are now closed because of the crisis that the world is facing with coronavirus. And most of our parents are at home, or most probably they are on call. And you see, the nature of our parents is they live from hand to mouth. So every day that they miss going to work, it means that they are not going to feed their families. So it's been a difficult time for them and for the whole population here, because now they are unable to go to work, then it means they are unable to feed their families, they are unable to pay rent, and some of the landlords are not really good, so they are harsh on them. We've had a few calls from our parents that they are having trouble with their landlords, because now they're demanding their rents. And so what we've been doing, we've been referring them to the area chief or local authorities to talk to them. And we also been talking to them to mobilize the rest of the tenants so that they can speak in one voice and approach the landlord. Then I think then it becomes easy for them, because if you are fighting alone, then it becomes a harder battle. But when you're fighting together, then it becomes easy for all of you.
Yeah.
So they are using their authorities and also mobilizing each other in their plots or their residence area.
So I'm wondering if you can kind of paint a picture of what it, have you been able to be in the communities, or are you staying in the office and mostly reaching out? I'm just trying to get a sense of what it looks like in the communities now, because the, you know, businesses, many of the businesses are closed, and you know, there's not the normal transportation to their workplace. Have you been able to get any kind of sense of what have you seen, or have you gotten a sense of what that even kind of looks like these days?
Yes, because We've not really been actively going to the homes of our parents, but we've been going to the villages, especially meeting the local authorities and talking to them about our work and about the nature of families that we are working with. So, and during our visits there, we've interacted with some of our parents and students in the villages. And so it's not an easy time for all of us here, because you find that some of our parents, as we walk to the villages, we find that some of our parents who had, oh goodness, when we are on our way there, we find that some of our parents have closed their businesses. We have parents who have been operating small businesses like groceries, and some of them are also food vendors. They sell food by the roads. So some of them have closed because of lack of people now are also shying away from buying foods from the streets. So they have very minimal people who are buying their food. And also the groceries are not readily available, or most sometimes they are very expensive in the market, because there's also minimal movement from the villages to the city. So there is also scarcity of food in the market. So our parents are not able to buy the in bulk.
So, you know, it's interesting. I remember when we were traveling there, when I was traveling there in February, and we were driving to, I think we were driving to Jaeget, and we passed that warehouse area, you know, the wholesale area, I should say, where people would sell their goods. You know, they were sitting in, we were driving by that area that a lot of the farmers or the, you know, people came with their wholesale product, and then the let's call it the retailers were coming in to purchase. So are you saying that that's not really happening anymore? Like in the mornings, you know, when they come in for reselling their things, that the retailers can sell that?
It's still happening, but the quantity of the foods that are coming into the city is less. Because even now people from the villages are also fearing, or from the up countries are fearing to come to the city because of the news and the fact that coronavirus in Nairobi, the high numbers are actually coming from Nairobi. So there's that fear of people coming to the city. Then also, there are also a lot of people who have moved to the villages, because now they're fearing the life in the city and the fact that social distancing is not easy, or it's hard actually to be practiced here in the city, and especially now our slums are so worse.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting. I just looked at the updated statistics. I think what I saw this morning, maybe I'll go look at that website again really quickly as we're talking, but it looked like the number of cases of let me just do an update here. I thought it said Kenya had only 285 cases and 10 deaths. Is that up to date? Or, I mean, it's like, I'm wondering if that is really reflecting that some of these measures are really working. And so have you had any situations where you know of anybody who has had a positive case, or, you know, have you heard from the community that anybody is at this point infected by the coronavirus?
As from our community, the community of our parents, none have had such a case, but we've had cases in our locality. That is where our parents come from. That is Kawangware area. We've had cases this week, and as of now, the country's statistics as of yesterday it was at 303.
I just saw that. I must not have had my browser refreshed. I see 303 cases and 14 deaths, which is still pretty, still pretty low considering the population, but it also could suggest that it hasn't even really hit yet, right?
We could be having a lot of cases in our country because the problem we've not been really doing a lot of testing So there could be a lot of people who are still positive and out there and they've not been tested. Because unless you're tested, then now you know. And now there are also issues that people who have interacted with people who have been found positive are also shunning away from going for testing, or they're hiding because of the fear of the quarantine centers. Because our centers are not pleasant. They are, when you look at the news, it's not somewhere that you will want to be. And especially if someone has a family, then they would fear to go to such centers, because also the people who have, most of the people who have tested positive are from these centers. So there's also that fear of exposure. When you go there, you might be negative, and when you go there, then you become positive. And also, given the nature of our parents, then it means that we are really praying that they are all safe, because as of now, we thank God none of them has reported any illnesses or they've been tested positively, because of the nature of their health, their immune system is not okay because of HIV and AIDS. So it means that if they are hit by this, then it will be serious, you know. So
absolutely,
yeah, the numbers could be high, but the testing is still very low in our country.
Yeah, so
and
it could still be.
We don't have such facilities.
Yeah, so it still could be kind of hidden. It could be there, but it could be hidden, and it's more prevalent than is known at this point, it sounds.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's true.
Most of the people are also in the slums are not able to afford things like masks and stuff like that. So you find that a lot of people are still walking and around, interacting with others, and they are not really protected. They don't have masks and any protective gears.
So are they able to improvise with any of their? Are they trying to make masks out of, you know, let's say an old bandana or shirt or something? I'm trying to visualize if on the street anybody's wearing any mask at all.
Yeah, the people are trying to improvise. The people who are wearing bandanas, the people who are wearing their scarves around the neck and the mouth, you know, nose. So there is all these innovations that is going around. And one of the other things that we've been trying to do is to really to communicate, to keep communicating with our parents. Every week, at least, we are talking with them and getting to know how they are doing, and also advising them to take care of themselves, wear masks, wash their hands, don't touch your face, you know, all these basic things that we are able to do. I know they cannot afford a sanitizer, but water is available so they can wash their hands.
It's interesting to hear how that's kind of going. And I, you know, I'm glad to hear that nobody at this point has contracted the virus, but yeah, we just hope that it's it remains as safe as that. I'm wondering so you've got a number of parents coming in tomorrow for the Food from Friends pickup. It'll be interesting to hear if they have any stories of how things are going. When people come in, are the staff wearing protective like gear for themselves when they're distributing the food?
Yes, we put on the masks, the gloves, and luckily enough, last week we got a vendor who is doing our deliveries, and they're actually packaging the food into like family packs, so it becomes easy for us, because initially we've been doing the packing. Like they come with their bags, then we pack for them. But this time round, now we have like exclusive packs for every family, so they just pick. We put them in one place, so the parent comes, signs, and picks. And we have a hand wash, we have sanitizers. So we sanitize the pen because they have to sign for the food. And then before they, as they come in, we have a hand wash place where they can wash their hands. And we also ask them to, at least someone have, they have to have a mask, a as they come, because they're also coming from the villages and they're using the public means and stuff like that. Some of them are walking to the office. So it's a requirement. Then we also have, we're also doing taking their temperatures. We had one of our local sponsors who donated a thermometer for us. So we've been doing that too.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, it sounds like you're doing everything that you can at this point, and sounds like things are operating pretty well, and it's really good that none of your students' parents are sick. So that's really, really good news. That's fantastic. I'm wondering if there's anything else that you have in mind that you'd like to say, because this has been a really good report, kind of a good update, and we want to do this weekly. Next week, we're going to talk with Mary, with the secondary school students, and then the week after, we'll talk with Joy and the post-secondary students. But I'm wondering if you have anything that you'd like to say about kind of how things are going in general. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to say in general about things and how things are going there.
So the other thing about the students, because now the school closed before their term had ended. So what we've been doing, we've been communicating and working with the schools that we partner with, and they have been issuing assignments to our children. Last week, but one, Jagiet Academy printed some vision materials for all our students. And so the parents went and picked those materials from the schools. Then we've also had schools like St. George's, Musa Gitau, and Nelson Mandela, who have been sending their revision material through us. They send them on our emails and WhatsApps. So we print them and we ask the parents to pick from the office so that our students keep engaging and advising from home. And one of the things that we asked them to do is give us a marking scheme so that the parents are also, the parents mark for the students. So the students do the assignment, the parents mark the work.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, that's the part, you don't have the luxury of online learning, right? You have to improvise there with using materials that you can and resources, including the parents. That's really interesting.
Yeah, some of the our families have televisions and there are national channels that have been doing media learning for our students, but not all of them are able to access this. They are also doing radio, but not all of our parents are able to access this. So it's at least good that we also have these WhatsApp things that they are sending to us and we are printing for the students. So all of them at least are keeping on with their revision from home. Because as of now, the Ministry of Education have not yet cancelled or they've not postponed the national exam. And we have two major exams every year for class 8, that is grade 8 from the US side, and also form 4. So these exams are still on as of now. From the Ministry of Education, there is no postponement of those exams. We are still hoping for the best that the virus will be contained and the students are going to somehow recover whatever they had not learned and go ahead and sit for their national exam. And see these exams, transitional exams, when they sit for their KCP, then it means next year they will be in high school. And how you perform also determines which kind of high school you're going to join. So it's really a big thing for the students and for an organization as us and also parents in general.
Wow, that's really interesting. So things are still on from that standpoint. There's a lot of motivation there, I imagine, from the students to make sure that they're keeping their studies up and keeping their marks up so that they can go to the schools they want to be able to attend.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Well, good luck with that. So you are managing not just the food side of things and helping people with housing and, you know, their rent, you know, just accommodations, but also their education is still happening in a new way. Just helping facilitate that off-campus learning. So that sounds like it's a real, your days must be very full.
Thank you.
Yes. So, okay. Well, thank you very much, Tunda, for the update. And I really look forward to hearing about the updates each week. And it's really great to get these updates from the neighborhoods, the communities, from the organization, because it's hard for us all to stay connected. But this has been a way to really help get a really good perspective of how things are changing there and how the organization is adjusting and making things work. So it sounds like you're doing a great job there, and really, really good to hear from you.
Thank you, Steve. Maybe something else. Last week, but one, when we were doing the calls, we contacted one of our parents, and she had closed her place of work for like three days because her neighbor has operates a warehouse where they sell things for building, and one of their regular customers came in, and somehow she became sick from the shop. She was not able to catch her breath, you know, those difficulties and all the symptoms of coronavirus. And actually the lady actually tested positive after the tests. So she was so scared, and she could not go to work for a whole week. So she just resumed, but now resuming on the owner of the business again close to the place. So now she's jobless. So that was the closest from one of our parents, the closest where someone has come in contact with somebody or almost in contact with somebody who has tested positive for coronavirus.
Wow. So yeah, so it is getting close. Okay, so thank you very much, and good wishes to you and everybody in the office and to the students and their families. We will talk again next week. So thank you, Tunda, and best wishes to you.
Thank you so much, Steve. I wish you all the best, and goodbye.
Thank you. That was a really great interview with Tunda, and it's good to know that she and the staff are still safe and healthy. And we hope you appreciated this interview. Next week, we will be speaking with Mary, who is the senior case manager of secondary school students at Gong Road Children's Foundation. Any comments or questions, please do provide that feedback. Always looking forward to hearing about what you think about the program. And if there's any specific questions you'd like to have asked or answered, please let me know. So be well, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Achakuot madika ura Gimaneno nela mabiro pindirumo. Watch no joke, watch no joke.